Time caught us in first session before we could complete our analysis of the Y radical. We almost made it, but there are a few things that we yet need to see. And first of all, we do need to remember that every imputation carries with it blessings of some sort. And we noted those in closing. Judicial imputation number one, righteousness condemns our sins in Christ. Justice judges those sins. That is a blessing for us. Judicial imputation number two, God's righteousness justifies those who believe in Christ, and then justice vindicates those who believe in Christ. And that is the doctrine, by the way, of justification. The word is dikaioma, a right act in the fulfillment of a legal requirement. A right act in the fulfillment of a legal requirement. When we do what God asks us to do with regard to salvation, that is, believe in Christ, faith alone in Him alone, then He has to perform an act. In other words, there has to be some kind of verdict that comes down following our belief in Christ. And the verdict is justification. Righteousness looks on our belief in Christ and says, I accept that. Justice imputes plus R, and the end result of all of that is justification. And also there's an English word that might communicate better. There is vindication. This is very important because this is what places us into the royal family of God. It is an irrevocable imputation. Our eternal life's guarantee is a part of that imputation. And so that sets up, as we mentioned in closing, a second potential. And that second potential is the execution of God's perfect plan for your life. Not all people are in any stretch of the imagination fulfilling this potential. To fulfill this potential, you must add to it pertinent doctrine. Up here, you added to the first potential, the doctrine of the gospel. Down here, it is Bible doctrine specifically emphasizing the mystery doctrines of the New Testament epistles. All doctrine is pertinent, but we are required to know, learn, and execute, and believe in, apply, make a part of our thought process the mystery doctrines of the New Testament. And we have, by the way, been involved in examining quite a number of them lately. So you have to acquire this information. Now, I had someone tell me recently that they had been going through a bit of trauma personally because of exigencies in their life. It's the kind of thing that is common to man. It's no different from what others have faced or will face. But when going through it, it is not pleasant. And there has to be some base of operations mentally that you can go to in order to stabilize yourself under these pressures. And these pressures come to you seemingly in coveys. They come from every possible conceivable angle, from people you don't even expect it from. And all of these things occur in clusters. The thing that a person must have during periods like this is an inventory of ideas that they can rely upon, information they can trust, people that they can look to for assistance. Those people, primarily the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They must have the Word of God available to them, flowing freely in their stream of consciousness so they can have stability under pressure. So you have confidence in the Word, it gives you courage toward life and circumstances. That is a very, very important statement to me for a person to tell me that. Because the reason you come here is to try and transform your souls from the garbage dump it was on the day you were saved into something a bit more respectable before you die. And when you do, you acquire information that assists you in dealing with those experiences that are common to man. And this person said to me, I don't think I could have gotten through this period without Bible doctrine helping me, assisting me, giving me a base of operations. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And for those of you who come here and are bored, and you must understand, don't get upset that you're bored. That is my duty in life. That's what I live for. I live to look out there and see people with that pained expression on their face. And I'm thinking, I am doing my job. Because it takes that right here to get that doctrine into your soul. You got to concentrate. Now, I saw a movie the other day, and this man, I assume, was a comedian and a pastor, an entertainer, an evangelist, all of those things wrapped into one, I don't know. But what he was doing was communicating a basic principle of Bible doctrine. And I don't even remember what it was, because the entertainment was so distracting from the message that now that it's over with, and it's less than a week ago I saw it, I can't tell you what the man taught. But I can tell you all of the examples that he went through, and the strutting and the preening and the jokes and all of that. It was entertainment. And then on occasion they would take a shot of the congregation. And there these people were, up on the edge of their seats, being what? Entertained. I'm just not an entertainer. I can't do it. That's not my job. And I'm not going to entertain you. That's not my job. I'm just going to teach. And I'm going to try to make it as boring as I possibly can, but accurate. So that you're not distracted by the entertainment. Now we have to have a few moments of levity, don't we? This gets intense after a while. So we have to sort of toss out a few little nuggets from time to time to wake the nodders and to give you a break. You can relax your hand for a moment. But it has to be hardcore, straightforward, intense, one blow right after another. And keep doing it, keep repeating it until somebody comes up to me and says, "It clicked for me. Thank you very much. I will continue to repeat this until everybody clicks." And the clicking process is right here. Come to Bible class. Enter into your own personal Bible studies. Like those eight principles I gave you. I went slowly on Thursday. Everybody wrote them down. I says, now think about these principles in light of the superlapsarian order of elective decrees, and you will see the heresy involved in that idea. And there are mainline denominations built on these ideas. And do you know who they give credit to it for? They give John Calvin credit. John Calvin was not a five-point Calvinist. He would be horrified at the idea of limited atonement. He had trouble defining the doctrine of predestination. He obviously had some difficulty with that, but hey, he was a guy. He's not God or an apostle or anything. And he wrestled with the scriptures, and he did have some trouble coming up with a pretty good definition for predestination. But he did not believe in limited atonement. And of course, Kendall's book proves that from research done all the way back into the writings of Luther. And that's been made crystal clear of late. But those people who come down, Theodore Beza is the man who really clouded this issue. After Calvin died, Beza took over Calvin's operation in Geneva. And he obviously had some ideas of his own that he kept under his hat while Calvin was still alive. And after Calvin did, well, they just popped up. Right out, you saw all the popes get these little visions, you know, and those guys in the Mormon church, you know, the message from God. And all of a sudden, Beza's got these things going on. And one of the things that have crossed his mind was limited atonement. And out of that comes superlapsarianism. And out of that comes false doctrines of predestination. And that's the foundation of a certain branch of the Presbyterian church. Heresy. It's heresy. Here is where you learn to ferret all that stuff out. And if you will stay with me when I teach things like the doctrine of divine decrees and the infralapsarian and superlapsarian orders, if you will stay with me on that and get this, then nobody can confuse you about false doctrines of predestination and that, yeah, you either never were saved, you can't be saved, you're the reprobate, and all of that razzmatazz. You're not reprobate by God's decision. You're reprobate by your own choice. You learn it right here. And that converts that potential into a hope or a confidence. And what is that? The doctrine is the mystery doctrines of the church age, the confidence, escrow blessings in time. If you keep moving down the trail, friends, when you get to Santa Fe, they're going to be great blessings in time for you. A lot of blessings in time. One of them is prosperity. physical, material prosperity in certain ways. You can't look. You cannot help but do this. If you start thinking clearly, if you line up with the laws of divine establishment, if you get Bible doctrine resident in your soul, if you're protected by God because of your residence there, if you take doctrine and amplify it in your soul, broadening your future options and make good decisions all along the way, you are going to be better off tomorrow than you are today. But here is the trauma of that idea. There are about 8 different categories of escrow blessings in time, and material prosperity is only one of them. And if you have one and the other 7 are not functional, dear friends, something's terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. Some people, you can't hardly help, but be blessed in several ways materially in a society like we have today. Hell, everybody's rich. Money everywhere. You take $10, put it in the stock market, and you got 50 the next day. You have to be a fool not to be rich. Dang near it. I'm trying to make a point. But what about the other 7 categories? How are you there? Well, we'll have to study that again pretty soon, won't we? Don't have time now. So if you have material prosperity, it does not indicate that you have been in Santa Fe since 1953. You may be. That's between you and the Lord. But don't assume that is the only indicator. It is not. But, by the way, is Bill Gates saved? I'm just curious. Of course, he's the most mature man in the world. Doctrine right here is what gives you the wherewithal to understand the thinking of God and fulfill this potential, which is the confidence of escrow blessings in time. You can just relax about it. If you do your duty with the Word of God, you can relax about these escrow blessings in time. They're in the decrees. You just do your duty. And whatever comes down that pipeline, you know, I've given you the plus R deal. Here's justice. Here's plus R. That's imputed to you, irrevocable. And that establishes a pipeline. It is a grace pipeline. And down this grace pipeline come blessings. I have to also tell you that also down that pipeline comes punishment. That's grace. Punishment comes down there too. Also, logistical grace support for life and godliness. All kinds of things come down this pipeline here. Justice is the source. That's our point of contact. Righteousness is the target. Righteousness is the target. And so these blessings flow. So does the punishment. So do the logistics, regardless of whether you're being blessed or punished. You're being kept alive right here. So why? So you can glorify God by getting to Santa Fe. He's going to keep you alive. This is to keep you alive so that you can use your assets. Some people don't, but they're kept alive. And when they think they're in Santa Fe, but they're in the death-shadowed valley before they know it. Now, Bill Gates may arrive at the death-shadowed valley, and he'll have enough money to buy all of the gizmos that can plug him up like a Christmas tree. What good will it do him? Death-shadowed valley is going to get you. So this blessing and this punishment all comes down the pipeline. Now back to here. We have confidence in escrow blessings coming down that pipeline. Confidence that it will occur. And if you stay on the trail, God knew this in eternity past, and these things are decreed to be conveyed. But now I want to remind you that in eternity past, in addition to the elective decrees that we've just noted this morning, if you'll go to, don't do it now, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 indicates another thing was done in eternity past for the elect. What was it? The imputation of escrow blessings in time and in eternity. When did it occur? In eternity past. For whom? For the elect. How do we know the elect? Omniscience indicates through the printout of foreknowledge who was a believer. Those who believe are elected. Those who are elected will have salvation applied to them when they believe in Christ. Also, in eternity past, they've been given a package of blessings called the escrow. And an escrow indicates that these things are put on hold, so to speak, in a depository. And Jesus Christ is the escrow officer. And where is He located? He is located in heaven. And Jesus Christ, as escrow officer, maintains your escrow until it is conveyed by the fulfilling of the escrow condition. The escrow condition, make it all the way to Santa Fe. And when you get into the city limits, boom, here comes escrow blessings and time. And how do we know that? It's in the divine decrees it actually occurs. This is conditional, you will note. It is conditional upon you making it to Santa Fe. And that's a big volitional if that all of you are individually, personally responsible for. God not holding anything back. He's already given it all. Do you want the conveyance? There is where the works come in, dear friends. This is not for salvation. This is for blessings and reward. And all of these people who are not scholars, but think they are, look at blessing and reward passages, and then whenever there's an indicator in some of them that blessings are lost or rewards are lost, they interpret that as loss of salvation. And it's not. It's because a believer failed to use his potential. Failed to execute the mandates. Failed to take advantage of his assets. And so we have this person in Y Radical who is confident of escrow blessings in time, knowing that will occur and all he has to do is perform his duty. When you close this thing out, then you've got that second plus, and that's the imputation of escrow blessings in time, and you see it right here. That closes it out, and there's your plus. And that completes that particular radical and sets up the Z radical, the final one. And it pulls down the imputation that occurred closing the X radical, the imputation of eternal life. And it takes that one. You have eternal life now. Your soul can never die. You will not go to hell. You have eternal security. Now let's take that idea and pull it down into the Z radical. Eternal life added to escrow blessings in time. You've already made experiential sanctification. God has blessed you exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ever ask or think. You now are a mature believer and you are part of the pleroma population of your client nation. When you finish the Y radical, you are pleroma. That's what escrow blessings in time indicates. Here's the word. P-L-E-R-O-M-A. Let's define pleroma. It means fullness. That's a translation, one word translation. Fullness. It means to be filled up, to take something that is empty and fill it up. Well, guess what's empty at the moment of your salvation? Let's go back here to the plus ending the X radical. This is where you're saved. Now, what's in your soul? What doctrine is in your soul at this point? The doctrine of salvation. So let's assume this is the container of your soul, and rattling around down here in the bottom is one little doctrine called salvation. I know I'm saved. And you may have picked up another idea possibly at that time, and that's eternal security. You may have that. But this is it. Now, what about this void here? What's in here? Well, you don't know it, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit and remain that way until you sin. And when you sin, that's canceled. But if you would get quickly to a Bible class and use this power to learn Bible doctrine, that's gap, then you can grow in grace and get a little information to defend this soul from personal sin. But it's the initial growth process is tough, and nobody survives that without spending a lot of time and a great deal of anguish and misery over their constant sinning. And that's Romans 7. We've looked at that. So you begin to fill up this deficiency, and this is the spiritual growth process that occurs right here at that pertinent doctrine added to the second potential. This is the spiritual growth process, and you just keep at it. Keep coming back. So, well, I'm bored, but every now and then I pick up something that helps. So you keep coming back and you fill up the deficiency. And finally, experiential sanctification is when you enter into spiritual maturity, enter Santa Fe. Experiential sanctification is the idea, and that is taking into your soul the thinking of Jesus Christ. And you, as Christ was filled with the fullness of God, so now therefore are you. And the word for that fullness is pleroma. There it is, pleroma. And pleroma occurs right here. You know it when escrow blessings and time occur. Now, a definition is fullness, therefore, to fill up a deficiency. Let's take a look at some passages in which pleroma is used. First of all, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. God gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church. Who's head of the church? Christ. Don't ever get it in your mind that anybody else runs a church. Christ is head of the church, not the pastor. Not Miss Goody Two-Shoes, who considers herself spiritual king of the mountain. Christ. Verse 23, which is his body. He's the head, we're the members of the body. We serve Christ in our own unique individual ways. The foot can't be telling the hand what to do. The foot can't do what the hand does. Hand can't do what the foot does. Belly button can't do what the eye does. Belly button can't tell the eye what to do. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The fullness of him that fills all in all. He has the fullness, we may have it too. What is that fullness? Bible doctrine, resident in your soul. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. This is, if you pass gnosis, you go to what? Epinosis. Now you're circulating doctrine in the cardia, the heart. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's pleroma again. How do you get filled with all the fullness of God? Know the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's that word unity. Unity of the faith. How do you acquire unity in the faith? That's where everybody's on the same page, believing the same doctrines in the same local church. If you disagree with what I'm teaching here, you're in the wrong place. You're breaking the unity. Right over there. I'm not going anywhere. It takes 2 weeks to get rid of me, by the way, in case you need to know that, in case you got any ideas. I'm serious. You're tired of this? Bored beyond belief? The doctrine is heretical? 2 weeks. Tell a deacon, we have five of them, I want a congregational meeting in 2 weeks. We want to vote this guy up or down. I just thought you needed to know that. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. See, it has to be unity. And if I'm one place and all the rest of y'all are somewhere else, I need to go. I need to go. You need to get somebody that agrees, that can agree with you. You want to be agreed with, I know. And say, let's just say this. Say this whole crowd of you gets completely in opposition. I'm not saying you'd be wrong. I'm saying you get in complete opposition to what I'm teaching. I think it dawned on me, I don't need this crowd anymore. Even if I'm teaching heresy, why teach heresy to people who don't believe it? What's the use in this? You want people to believe your lie. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfect man, mature man is the idea. This is experiential sanctification. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're able to think as Christ thought in the incarnation. Solve problems through biblical problem-solving devices as he did. When he was challenged, for example, by Satan on three occasions, did he ever accept Satan's offer? No, he always refuted Satan with biblical truths, biblical problem-solving devices. Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ, we've noted, advanced to spiritual maturity by age 12. And we took the time to note that in Scripture. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In true humanity, the knowledge possessed by God was possessed by Christ in the incarnation in his true humanity. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, you are complete, you're made mature in him. When you transfer the thinking of Christ off the pages of the Word of God into your soul. So pleroma is the idea at the end of the Y radical. You now have the fullness of Christ. You're in spiritual maturity. You now have escrow blessings in time hooked up with your eternal life. That sets up a third potential. And that third potential says to you, there's even greater things yet to come. And the pertinent doctrine here is to learn concepts related to the eternal future and the rewards associated with the mature believer. And we learn that escrow blessings in time are only the first package of escrow. That if you get escrow blessings in time, they will be conveyed into escrow blessings for all eternity. And once you learn that, you have confidence that these things will occur at the judgment seat of Christ. They will be conveyed at that time at the Nike Awards ceremony. And at the Nike Awards, that is where the plan of God is ultimately fulfilled to the satisfaction of God and Christ. This is where you have ultimate sanctification in a resurrection body with all the accoutrements that go to that resurrection body through escrow blessings in eternity. And we've studied the Nike Awards in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. There is a uniform of glory. There is the order of the morning star. There is a coat of arms. There are crowns. All of these things are evaluated in those two chapters of Revelation, indicating the things that come to you for all eternity. And those, see, we can go all the way back to this plus right here. Once a person gets saved, all of these blessings associated with the imputations after that are available to every believer in Christ. Everyone. All of us. And all it takes is volitional decisions along the way to max this thing out. And it's all human free will. It's all prom chip stuff. And where the volition is there, the decrees impute. And it's in the decree. You cannot in any way go into those computer chips and alter what God knows is going to happen. Now, the challenge here is, first of all, you understand how God views these things. Now the application is, how do you view them? Knowing that your volition is truly free and that God knows how you're going to think. Does He therefore determine what you think? No. He seeks to influence through Bible doctrine, the laws of divine establishment, things of that nature. But He only seeks to influence. He never determines. Free will decides. You can resolve in your own soul today that you're going to take advantage of all of the assets you have and to maximize the potentials which are yours on this board. Maximize them through volitional choices to be positive to the Word of God. And if you do, God is honorable, He is faithful, and He is just to have already put into the computer the blessings and rewards associated with those decisions. Now, don't think this. Don't go haywire and say, well, I'm either going to have blessings or I won't. Tommy rot. Tommy rot, I say. The blessings and rewards are contingent on how you choose day in and day out from this day forward. Because God knew it has no impact on your thought process other than He influences through the Word. I have to keep saying that. Never determines, never coerces. Free will. What are you going to do? Many people want a great deal of stuff in life. They visualize coastal communities. God knows I do. coastal communities. You visualize flopping up. While you hold some St. Louis holy water in one hand and Doritos in the other. You visualize investments that kick out monthly, thousands upon thousands of dollars if you go to fancy restaurants and buy fine wine, hobnob with the elite, go to concerts, maybe just follow Alison Krauss around all year long. That's your idea. What about the mental side of this thing? What about the soulish side of it? How do you make that coalesce with your idea? You'd be surprised at the things that cross people's minds when they get older. I've tried to illustrate that with Solomon, which is what we're really studying here. He got old. He had it all. He could have bought coastal communities. Had apes and peacocks shipped in from Africa just to entertain him. Had all the money you could get. Built his throne of solid gold, including the steps and the lions on the sides. Solid gold. Still had money left. Women? There's not enough Viagra to keep up with that. 1,000 women. That give him happiness? He couldn't find it. How about education? I will educate myself into happiness. I will know all that is knowable under the sun. He couldn't do it. If in fact it frustrated him that he couldn't learn it all, couldn't understand it all. He decided, well, my boy is going to give me happiness. Rehoboam? The kingdom was divided under him. Where's Solomon's happiness? He gets to old age and he says, I hadn't got any happiness. I got my stuff, but I don't have my happiness. So he said, I guess I better rebound. And he rebounded. He recovered. He made the recovery all the way to the point to where he received endowment of the Holy Spirit to write Proverbs, to write Ecclesiastes, to write the Song of Solomon. And he is known for his wisdom down to this day. A lot of wisdom can be acquired in periods of reversionism if you recover. Don't try it just to get wisdom. There are other ways to do this. But you can experience so many downtimes while in reversionism that once you recover, if you're so fortunate, that you can look back on these things, these episodes, these ordeals, and acquire a great deal of wisdom from it and pass it along to others, for example, in the Proverbs. And I've talked to you about the Proverbs. And beginning in chapter 11 and going through chapter 24, I believe, you have constant comparisons between wheel tracks of righteousness and wheel tracks of wickedness. He who does the wheel track of righteousness, this good thing will result. He who does the wheel track of wickedness, this bad thing will result. And all the way through there, you see these comparisons from a guy who had wisdom because he had done it all. He had seen both sides of the issue and was able to write about it. Z radical, therefore, takes that eternal life that you're confident about. It takes the escrow blessings and time that you already possess and creates a third potential. And that third potential, once you get the doctrine, is absolute confidence that in eternity future at the judgment seat of Christ, you will have the imputation, or rather, best said, the conveyance of escrow blessings in eternity. Now, non-meritorious human volition can fall short of any of the three potentials in God's plan. The extent to which any individual advances is determined by his own free will, but God knew how that believer would advance in eternity past, and in the decrees goes the blessings, the rewards, the punishment, and the discipline. It's already there. So continue to buck the tiger. The odds are all on the house. And your discipline and your punishment has already been decreed. Continue to advance in the plan of God through positive volition and have the comfort and confidence of knowing that your rewards and blessings have already been decreed. They're yours, already conveyed in the computer. That advance, therefore, is fed into the computer and written into your prom chip. God knew some would reject salvation from their free will. Others would believe, but yet remain spiritually immature, and that a few would advance to spiritual maturity. Those who make the advance all the way through Z radical are blessed to the maximum in both time and eternity, and they bring maximum glorification to God. The stark reality is that for the majority of those who are among the elect, the potential exceeds the reality. The stark reality is that for the majority of those who are among the elect, the potential exceeds the reality. All human beings have the potential for salvation through a free choice to believe in Christ. All believers have the potential to execute God's plan through free will response to the teachings of Bible doctrine. Few do. The former, those who have the potential for salvation through faith alone in Christ alone, is always the few. I don't know how many souls God has created and imputed in all of human history, but when the final tally is made, it will be a minority who have accepted Christ as Savior. The latter, those who have the potential to execute God's plan and therefore move forward by learning Bible doctrine, there are even fewer of those. Of the few who accept Christ, only a few choose to make the advance. Therefore, the attainment of divine blessings is the means by which God has chosen to glorify Himself and to give Himself pleasure. God is pleased to bless us, and everything is geared to allow Him to do that without compromising His own righteousness. He cannot compromise His righteousness. But this system that sits on this board enables you to go all the way to maximum blessings in eternity without ever compromising divine righteousness. It's yours for the taking. It's all out on the table. All you have to do is make the decision to pick up your chips and cash them in. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the power of the Word and the opportunity to make it a part of our thinking. We're grateful for intricate concepts such as those we've been noting, and that the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to perceive these things clearly. And once done, it becomes a part of our thought process, our decision making, and our problem solving, all of which gives us confidence in Your Word and courage toward life and circumstances. Motivate us for the continued pursuit of truth, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Karis human kai rene, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?